Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I'm not sure I can actually watch this again. It's like being trapped in the anxiety dream of someone who's admittedly actually quite obnoxious. Genuine question, does Matt Hancock have a humiliation kink? Is that what turns him on, being roasted on national television? I'm not here to kink shame. Everyone's got things that float their boat. It just maybe happens that Matt Hancock has a very specific interest, shall we say. Who's his publicist? That's what I want to know. And do they hate him? Like, really, really hate him. Now, the former, unfortunately for us, health secretary, Matt Hancock, who helped preside over the mass avoidable deaths of tens of thousands of people. I'm just doing a little potted history here of Matt Hancock. Before breaking lockdown rules through some very explicit canoodling, which none of us in a just world should have had to have seen. And yeah, unfortunately, we did. He then got sacked. Anyway, he then decided to relaunch his career as a reality TV star, hoping that we'd all forget the small matter of the mass avoidable deaths. And then he'd make a shitload of cash and everyone would go, oh, we love Matt Hancock. He's not what we thought he was. And just because of the whole mass death thing, forgive and forget. Oh, he's so cool and nice and funny and charming. Anyway, that was the potted history of Matt Hancock's strategy vis-a-vis going on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Anyway, he went on Good Morning Britain to be interviewed by Susanna Reid. This is what happened.
Guidance that was in place.
No, I'm talking about the legal restrictions.
No.
These have been confirmed to us by Adam Wagner, the barrister from Doughty Street Chambers, who, right, as we know, keeps the receipts on all the legal changes at the time.
Yeah.
Based on what we know, he says, this seems to me to have been an illegal gathering.
No, I didn't break the law. And, you know, there were fines issued, as we all know.
Why didn't you break the law? Was it reasonably necessary for work purposes?
No, the guidance was in place at the time with the...
No, you're pivoting to social distancing.
I'm not
talking about social distancing guidelines. I'm talking about
the
law.
They were the guidelines that I
broke. They might well have been, and you definitely broke those because you were definitely not a meter away from
dinner.
I'm talking about the law. England was at stage two of COVID restrictions.
I'm not sure that's the case.
I am absolutely sure that's the case.
Right. I don't have the dates in front of me. And
you were health secretary at the time. No, you brought the regulations in.
Of course. Of course. And I don't have
them
in front of me.
If anybody should have known the law, it would have been you.
Of course, absolutely.
It happened on the 6th of May. We were still under stage two. It was a breach of the law.
No, it wasn't a breach of the law. Well, it was a breach of the guidelines. And I've been through that.
If the law says that no person may participate in a gathering which consists of two or more people and takes place indoors, the only exemption was work purposes where it was reasonably necessary. You must be arguing it was reasonably necessary.
No, I'm obviously, you know, that's obviously not... I wouldn't make that argument. But the guidelines were in place on social distancing.
And so was the law.
They were the... No, the law on this point, I can't remember the exact dates, but it was lifted in April. And I remember
that. On the 14th of May, that law was changed, and we went to stage three.
There were further stages after that point.
There were no stages between stage two and stage three.
There was. That was on the. That was in April. The change came into. Anyway, I've been through this endlessly. This point. And I've explained
it. You've been through it endlessly, but you don't know what the law was at the time.
I do, and I'm explaining
it to you.
You
said you don't, and you didn't have the dates in front of you. But when I gave you the dates, you say it wasn't in existence at the time.
No, that's right. The guidelines were in place, and I accept that I broke the guidelines, but I didn't break the law.
Is it over yet? Can I start watching? Is that over yet? Am I safe? Good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oof, that is painful. Let's be honest, that was painful to watch. He's doing that classic, let's just, a little analysis here. He's doing that classic politician thing by way of trying to encourage people to be bored of the wrongdoing of the powerful. The powerful often try and shield themselves through that form of deflection. Like, just getting people bored by getting them bogged down in, oh, it's so many complicated details and dates and who said what and who did this and who did that. It's a classic strategy, you know, as I've said, in responding to bad things, by coming up with all sorts of carefully crafted statements, for example, full of pedantry and deflection and ambiguity and distortion. And then I hope that drags it out so much that everyone just gets bored and moves on. That's what the government obviously tried to do during Partygate. Anyway, this doofus made a bit of a mistake by trying to drag out his big rehabilitation tour by appearing on Good Morning Britain, because it turns out Susanna Reid can be a pretty badass journalist, if we're going to be honest, truth be told. So the lawyer referred to here is Adam Wagner, who has now adjudicated that he thinks, he's using very careful legal language, which I think is perfectly reasonable, but he's adjudicated that he thinks Matt Hancock has appeared to have broken the law. So he didn't just go against... The whole point was, like, he went against advice, but not the law. Well, because the image apparently was taken on the 6th of May 2021, when we were still in step two. So, obviously, Matt Hancock was pretty vague about when this little relationship started, where we, of course, were witness as a nation to that particular one-on-one. Because indoor social gatherings were prohibited in law until the 17th of May 2021, when step three came into force. I think we can all agree that having a big old smooch and other things with someone else is not doing vital work energy. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people actually will just go, well, boring though, innit? Other things are going on in the world. The country's falling to bits, quite literally. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Boris Johnson's just done a little, I'm sure, hard-hitting interview with Nadine Dorries, who I'm sure will really pin him down on all the big issues. But yeah, I mean, basically, in that, he said that people are out of their mind if he, you know, basically intentionally broke lockdown rules and all the rest of it. Yeah, I mean, again, I think this is really, it was an interesting moment, Partygate, because that was when everything just fell apart or began to fall apart for the government in its entirety. And it was a bit before that, actually. It was Owen Paterson, if people remember this, because quite a lot of stuff happened, to be fair. They tried to come to the aid of their pal, Matt Hancock, who'd been accused of doing things which were not good. And that was the beginning of the end. And then the Partygate stuff came out. And obviously what we learned was those who ruled over us, who were in charge of drawing up the law, voting for the law, communicating the law, broke the law, not once, but actually, in terms of all the people involved, quite a few times. And the reason that's obviously pissed people off is lockdown was a necessary evil because of a greater evil, which was a virus which has killed about 200,000 Britons and, according to The Economist's latest projections, a central estimate around 20 million people globally since the pandemic began. And obviously, that meant all sorts of terrible surrenders of freedom. I mean, it was illegal to hug people. What a time to be alive. So people couldn't hold the hands of their dying relatives. And what's frustrating about it is because of the classist and racist nature of the British justice system, you actually did get people like homeless people being charged and arrested for breaking lockdown rules, children being fined, that kind of thing. Or, you know, young people being fined. You were more likely to suffer the consequences of lockdown rules if you were poorer and if you were a person of colour, because the police in this country are institutionally racist and also classist. They see themselves, when they see themselves as the thin blue line between chaos and anarchy and order, they see themselves basically as keeping the anarchic poor at bay. So they obviously clamped down very heavily on that. And then they were sitting, they were just there in Downing Street while all this was happening. And they didn't do anything, did they? No, they did not. And then they dragged out the investigations to the government. It was all very suspicious, wasn't it, what the Metropolitan Police were up to. Obviously, it'd be outrageous for me to suggest that they're completely and utterly corrupt as a police force. This just sums up again. It doesn't it? It's the nature of one rule for them, one rule for everybody else. It's the fact that, you know, yeah, people go, oh, Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak got fined. Yeah, well, only after massive, massive scrutiny, which forced the police to act because it would have just been so ludicrous. You know, when lots of people suffered far worse consequences. What a state I think it sums up the country is in, or how society functions and in whose interests. And that is all I have to say about Matt Hancock's latest humiliation. Please like, subscribe, and do support us on patreon.com/OJ84 because we've got documentaries coming up and we are looking forward to sharing them with you. Lots of love.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.